Say hi.
Hi.
How are you? What's going on?
I'm doing well.
I know you are.
How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. Of course, I don't have a huge TV hit on my hands, but I just have a huge internet radio hit.
Cool. Anything internet is better than anything non-internet.
I think internet's pretty cool. People don't understand the ramifications of internet on everything.
Yeah.
They're far-reaching.
I've decided that instead of an exclamation point, people should just say .com.
There you go.
Like, I'm really excited, .com.
I find myself sometimes saying lol, which is laugh out loud, LOL. On
yeah.
The internet.
Yeah.
Nothing to people when you say lol. They go, what the hell are you talking about? You know? We're talking right now with Greg Daniels. He is, of course, the co-creator and executive producer of one of the funniest shows on TV. It's called King of the Hill. And I wanted to say hi and welcome you to PNP Network. How are you?
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
You are. You were actually the co-executive producer of The Simpsons, correct?
Yes.
And tell me a little bit. You got an Emmy Award for the Lisa's Wedding episode.
That's correct. Yeah, I wrote that episode.
And I understand you also wrote for Saturday Night Live.
Uh-huh.
What were some of the things that you came up with on that show? Anything you can think of offhand?
Yeah, well, I did one sketch with some other writers called Mr. Short-Term Memory, which was a Tom Hanks sketch.
Oh, yeah.
We're going back a long time now.
Yeah, I remember that, though.
When I was there, it was like the cool thing to do was to write the sketches that had to do with whatever was happening in the papers that week.
Yeah.
And, not actually write for the actors. Of course, the ones that write it for the actors, everyone knows their sketches now. But I didn't want to write a church lady sketch. So.
Now, how did you meet Mike Judge and come up with the – because you guys together came up with both shows, right? Well, Mike was with Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, I didn't have anything to do with Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, and you were with The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you guys meet and come up with this idea?
Well, we met at this U.S. Comedy Arts Festival, and Mike was actually giving a lecture about cartoons, and I showed up having worked on The Simpsons and wanted to take this lecture.
Mm-hmm.
So we met there, but then I think the studio put us together. Because they had a deal with him, the Fox studio.
I remember when King of the Hill came on, I think it was introduced at a major sporting event, if I remember correctly.
Yep. Yeah, it was. It wasn't the Super Bowl, but it was the week before.
It's a great show. It's funny, and the characters are really nice, and Mike's voices are great. And did you guys pretty much know this was going to be a hit?
Well, we were really, we knew it was going to be a hit. We were really confident for about a year and a half, and then they moved us to Tuesdays. And nobody was watching for a while, because there weren't any other programs on. But we're back on Sunday now, so we're
Sunday was a
conference.
It was a natural Sunday. You guys should be on Sundays with the
Simpsons.
Yeah,
well,
it made
no
sense.
Yeah,
it made no sense at all to do that. But
yeah, they put us on against Home Improvement, which is a very similar type of show in terms of what it's about. And the whole point was that we were going to slug it out there for a year and then kind of rule the roost, but they took us out after our year of slugging us out. So.
Now, we talked a little bit about your Saturday Night Live experience. You also wrote freelance for a couple shows, and one of them, I understand, was Seinfeld.
Yep, I wrote a Seinfeld episode.
And the one you wrote, of course, is legendary, the parking space episode.
Well, thank you.
Everybody remembers that. I mean, it's...
I think a lot of people remember the episode in the parking garage more than the one in the parking space. I just want to make sure you're remembering the right one, because the one I wrote was about George backing into a space on the street and somebody else fronting into it and then getting into a giant argument. And is that the one you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It won a writer's a nomination for an award, so
that's true.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is funny because there's a kid that locally whose name I don't remember now because he's got a kind of a strange first name that wrote for Seinfeld. He's the one who wrote the Nazi, Soup Nazi episode.
Uh-huh.
He's a young kid from Bridgewater, Massachusetts, who... He told us the kind of money that he was making for writing. He said it's just enormous money. Did you ever think when you were a kid, young, that you'd be doing what you're doing now and the kind of immense amount of dollars that are available?
Well, when I went to to college at Harvard, so I had some Massachusetts background too. There,
there you go.
At the time that I graduated, this was considered to be kind of a risky thing to do, and everybody else was going to law school and trying to go to banking and stuff like that. And so my partner and I, all of our classmates said, get ready to starve, and it turned out that this was a pretty good paying job.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, where are you from originally?
I'm from New York, but I lived in Rhode Island for many years.
Now, when you were growing up, were you a big TV fan? Did you watch a lot of TV?
Yeah, but every time you say that, you run into somebody who did nothing but watch TV. So I think I'm kind of in the middle on the spectrum there.
What shows were you watching when you were a kid?
Well, when I was a little kid, I watched I Love Lucy all the time, and The Odd Couple, and Carol Burnett Show. And when I look back on them now, I'm not sure what I liked about about the Carol Burnett Show. I don't know, but if you look at it now, it seems like all they were doing was cracking up at themselves. But
well, they did have some semblance of good writing at times.
Yeah, yeah. No, they were really good. There was a really good show.
Because I remember the particular show where they had her sitting down in a restaurant and making her feel that she was invisible and everybody there didn't see her.
Uh-huh.
It was an amazing, genius type of writing on that particular episode.
Wow.
But
I don't remember.
A lot of it was shtick, though, that they were just hanging out laughing at each other. Because they were all very good friends, Harvey Korman and Tim Conway and all those folks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what was your first gig, actually, in writing? What was your first time you actually got
paid? Well, the first time I was ever hired was by a woman named Pat Lee, and it was to work on the show Not Necessarily the News.
Oh, on HBO, right?
Yeah, which is on HBO.
Yeah, that was a great show.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I didn't create it or anything, but I helped out there for a couple of years.
I always liked that show, and I wonder why I didn't stay.
Well, it stayed for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, it was on several, many years.
But that was a show that did a lot of the stuff that Saturday Night Live was doing on their updates and stuff, but it did a lot better. Maybe it was because it was on cable that they were able to do some things.
Well, what we used to do on that show was mix real news footage with shot insert shots that we would shoot. So it gave the impression that the figures from the news were actually participating in these jokes.
Exactly.
So that was kind of an unusual thing.
It was great. I like that show. It's one of those shows that stands out as kind of a pioneer for different things.
Oh, good.
So what did you do after that? What was the next show after that?
Well, I did a couple of pilots. I did a show called The Wilton North Report. Do you have any remembering of that? It was
no.
It took the time slot of the Joan Rivers show on Fox when Fox was really young, and it was on for maybe 4 months or something. And there was a lot of attention because it was put on by the producer of the David Letterman show and Second City TV, SCTV.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out, that's why we wanted to work there. So we ran to get a job there. But then it turned out that it was the line producer, which means, the guy that made sure everybody showed up on time and cut the checks and stuff. And he wasn't really the creative producer. And the show kind of bombed.
Talking to Greg Daniels, who right now is responsible for a show that's a huge hit, The King of the Hill. This Sunday's episode, boy, you got some great guests coming on there. That's one of the great things about the show, and The Simpsons as well, because the guest appearances are really kind of cool.
Yeah, well, it's a lot easier to get interesting celebrities to do the show because it's not much work, and they don't have to get dressed up or anything. They just talk into a microphone, and we can go anywhere to record them. For example, I flew to Las Vegas to get the Dixie Chicks, who are on this week's episode, and they just took an hour or two off from whatever they were doing and went to a studio, and we got all their lines, and they play these three horny sisters who come on to Bill Dotrieve when everybody from the show goes to New Orleans. And it's a pretty exciting episode. And their mom is played by Meryl Streep. And we also have Dandy Don Meredith on the show. Children like the show, and they want to be cool to their kids.
Yeah.
And, the kids don't care about the dingo eating your baby or whatever.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's amazing. This is a good one. That's coming up Sunday night. Of course, the show's on Sunday nights at 7:30 on the Fox Network. Do you do this all year round? When you're in hiatus, do you do anything else?
Well, I'm working on another show with Mike Judge, who created King of the Hill with me.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to do a show about the record industry and radio and stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you'll be calling me for a guest appearance on that.
Well, sounds good. Except you're an internet provider now.
Well, yeah, still on the radio, though, too, as well.
Okay.
But that's great. And with Greg Daniels with us from Fox and from the show King of the Hill, where he's co-creator and executive producer and doing quite well. Very happy for you.
Thank you. If I could make a little plug for our soundtrack album, which is out in stores now.
I was going to mention it actually just now. The Elektra Records has put out a King of the Hill CD, which actually we're going to play a couple cuts. I don't have it yet, but they're sending it over here, so we will actually play it on the show.
Oh, good.
And it features people like Travis Tritt and Bare Naked Ladies and the Mavericks and Sheryl Crow and Faith Hill and
Hank Hill.
Hank Hill doing Teddy Bear. So you know it's going to be quite a soundtrack CD. This is something that's pretty cool for you guys, huh?
Yeah, well, this is where we got the idea to do the show about the record industry.
Ah.
And, we've been really working hard on the soundtrack for about a year. And, you know, doing original comedy songs and going different places and getting different, you know, rock acts and stuff to... That sounds really old-fashioned, doesn't it? Rock acts.
Rock acts. Well, it's somewhat old-fashioned. You got Willie Nelson on there, so...
Yeah, well, but he's doing a duet with Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray.
You got Lou Ann Platter doing an old song, One Tin Soldier. That was from Billy Jack, I think.
Yeah, Lou Ann Platter is Lou Ann from our show.
Ah.
I don't know if everybody knows that her last name is Platter. I have to explain that.
So One Tin Soldier, of course, that old song that was a big hit from Billy Jack.
Yes.
Now, why would that come up in the soundtrack?
Well, you know, we were looking for a song for her to sing because the actress that plays Lou Ann is Brittany Murphy, who's a Broadway actress and sings very well. And the character of Lou Ann is very earnest and naive, and it just came out really funny that she was singing One Tin Soldier.
I can imagine. I bet you the soundtrack's as funny as the show.
Well, part of it is. Most of it's music, but the comedy, in between the musical songs, we have lines that we wrote especially for it. So
you want to go to the stores, folks, and get this Elektra Records King of the Hill CD, and then tune in Sunday night and watch the show and, of course, play the CD during commercials.
Yeah, and then sit there in a King of the Hill T-shirt and try and...
Have a beer.
Have a beer.
That's what you got to do. That's the way you watch King of the Hill. Fox TV, Sunday night, 7:30, be there. Well, it was a pleasure talking to you, Greg.
Yeah, me too. Thanks.
And take care. Maybe we'll talk again when you do your new show about the record industry.
Well, if it gets on the air, I hope to see you then and talk to you about it.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.